good, 11 o'clock. It is good to be with you once again. A special welcome to those of you watching online that attempted to come to campus today, but ended up turning around or back in your living room. It's good to be with you. Special welcome to those of you that are joining us for the first time. If we haven't met, my name is Dre. I'm one of the teaching pastors for our weekend services. I'm also our young adult pastor for our ministry to 18 to 25-year-olds that meets, thank you guys, that meets on Sunday nights. And tonight, we're meeting at the Ridge 630. We're back for our first one since Christmas break. So we would love to have you, but I get to go into this time of teaching alongside you. So if you haven't done so yet, inside your program is a green and white message note sheet. It's an opportunity to be able to follow along with this teaching. Before we jump in, I also have two things to highlight. The first one is that this coming Friday, Michael, our lead pastor, is going to be sending out via email a ministry update letter. And those have a lot of important information about the next season for us as a church. It's going to talk about our year-end finances, the series we're jumping into in the parables, things like All Serves and other ways to get involved, our elder nominations. So if you're not on our email list, I would love to encourage you to do so. You can grab the Connect card inside your program, fill that out, and on your way out in the lobbies, there are some give boxes you could put it in. Second thing I want to highlight is, again, I just felt the Holy Spirit asking me to share something that I wasn't necessarily planning on, and that's really just being vulnerable and honest with you, Rocky Peak. I am coming into this weekend with an incredibly heavy and burdened heart. And the reason I am is because life happened. Yesterday, I was here on campus getting ready for service, and I got one of those text messages about a family member that changes your day and is going to change the next several weeks of our lives. And because of that text message, my emotions have been all over the place on the spectrum. My thoughts have been incredibly distracted. I'm thinking about 10 different things in this moment. As I was driving to church today, as I'm talking to the Lord, I'm going, man, I feel incredibly inadequate at the task that has been given to me. And the picture that God keeps reminding us of is that what he does with the little that we bring, that our Jesus is the one that we can bring a meager fish and loaves, and he will turn it into something more. And the reason why I think the Holy Spirit is asking me to share this is not because I'm trying to garner any sympathy or anything from you, but it's because I'm willing to bet I'm not the only one in this room. I think the Lord asked me to share that because I think there are several of you here right now or watching online that you would say that I've got nothing, that it took everything I had just to get to church this morning, that I'm in a season where I wonder, God, I don't even know what's left to give. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know that not only does Jesus see you, but Jesus takes what little you have, the two coins, if you will, and he multiplies it into something more. So I pray that our time together is an encouragement. I pray that our time together is life-giving. I pray that our time together shows us the miraculous work of Jesus the King. Amen? So we're going to start, as we've been doing these last several weeks, by reading scripture out loud together. So I'm going to invite you to stand up. Scripture's going to be up on the screens. You're going to go ahead and follow along with me, and here we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Let's stay standing as we pray. King Jesus, I think about in your word, in the letter to the Romans, it says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I'm drawn specifically to the word believe because there is an epic magnitude we often miss, that belief is not simply knowing the right facts, but belief is meant to change the orientation of our entire lives. We prove that we believe believe when we start taking one step after another to live differently. And so here we are together, Jesus, and we ask that you would grow our belief in you. And in defiance of the sin around us, in defiance of the enemy prowling around us, in defiance of our circumstance, we say we believe in you, that you are king and authority. We believe that you are the only way to find forgiveness of our sins. We believe that you have given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our counselor. We believe that you are calling us to go and make disciples of all nations. We believe that you will come again and we will live in the fullness of what you have for us. King Jesus, we believe. And so continue to grow that in us this morning as we sit under your living and active word. And finally, as the communicator, may I beautifully become much, much less. And would you, King Jesus, become much, much more. It's in your name we all said, amen. You can go ahead and grab a seat. Hey, so I want to start off right out the gate by asking you an important question. In fact, it's the first fill-in on the front of your note sheet. We are coming in hot this morning, Rocky Peak. This is what I want to ask. Do you expect to encounter heaven at the DMV? Do you expect to encounter heaven at the DMV? Now, there's some of you that are familiar with me as a teacher, and you're probably sitting there going, okay, where's he going with this? He's gonna tie this to a movie or a pop culture reference. I am not. I am dead serious when I ask this question. Do you expect to encounter heaven at the DMV? Take yourself back, however long ago it was, the last time you needed to physically walk into the DMV. What did you expect to happen? What did you expect to take place? And I'm willing to bet that if we're honest, not only did very few of us expect to encounter heaven, the majority is expected to encounter the opposite of heaven when we go to the DMV. And for those of you that work at the DMV, can I say just wholeheartedly, you are the salt of the earth. I cannot imagine the strength it takes to have to deal with grumpy, unreasonable person after grumpy, unreasonable person that doesn't realize they can do most of this online. But as I ask this question, I have an important follow-up. If you don't, which I think the majority just fall in that category, expect to encounter heaven at the DMV, why not? After all, you're there. Oh, it was all fun and games at first. But I'm being dead serious. Because follow my line of thinking here, if you are what the Bible says you are, then that means that as a believer in Jesus the King, you are now the temple of the living God. That means you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit that has entered into you and lives with you each and every day, each and every moment. As the temple, that means that you are the place where heaven literally meets earth. That means wherever you go, heaven goes too. So why don't you expect heaven in a place like the DMV? And I'm willing to guess it's because you're not looking for it. Which leads me to a statement I made last week, that our view of heaven, particularly as believers, our view of heaven is way too small. And so our opportunity is to go to the Word of God, which is living, which is active, and is constantly opening our eyes to see a bigger truth. And as we go to the Word of God to say, teach me the truth about heaven, we see that not only is heaven breaking through, but God's vision for each of our lives is that heaven would be unleashed through us in every moment that we find ourselves in. And that's what we're gonna be unpacking in our time together this morning. And so this morning, I'm gonna be wrapping up this two-week mini-series called Breaking Through. The series has served as a foundation for 2026 to prepare us for the longer teaching series we're gonna start next week in the parables of Jesus. And the heart and vision of this series is very simple, that when Jesus came into this world, he brought heaven with him. That means not only is heaven broken broken through in our world, but heaven is breaking through in your life. And so last week, I set a foundation for heaven and our understanding of heaven that I'm going to be building on this week. But it's going to be important if we take a few moments to gain a quick recap. So there on your note sheet on the inside, you've got a section titled Breaking Through a Recap. And there's a couple things I want you to write down as we remind ourselves of where we were last week. And so last week I took you to Revelation chapter 21, in which we have this beautifully clear description of what I call the heart of heaven, what heaven is all about. And I want to invite you to write these two words we focused in on last week. The first word to write down is the word restoration. That heaven is the restoration of all things that sin destroyed and that sin killed. All of the things that sin damaged and sin killed are restored back to life within the power of heaven. And the second word that I want you to write down is presence. That heaven is the restoration of our relationship with God the Father. There is no longer any separation. And because of that foundation, we then got to spend time last week in two life-changing truths about heaven. And they're in your note sheet. These are your fill-ins. The first one is that heaven is breaking through into the present. Heaven is breaking through into the present. Yes, as believers in Jesus, heaven is our future reality, but heaven is also our present reality, meaning we get to now live in the restoration and in the presence of God in our lives that heaven brings. And the second truth is that heaven is breaking through within Christ followers. That when a man or woman, when a child, when a teenager gives their lives to Jesus in an act of repentance, what is happening is that heaven, restoration, presence, it's breaking through in their hearts. We looked at this verse there on your note sheet, the way Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you underline that? On earth as it is in heaven. And so we really focused last week on the fact that Jesus beautifully equipped and unleashes us to pray in our lives now. Heaven break through. And last week we focused on heaven breaking through in us, but that's not where the story of heaven ends. It starts in us. And then God's vision is to unleash heaven through us. If we want to see the world change, the world is going to change through heaven being unleashed through the lives of believers in the King Jesus. And so we're going to go to our scripture today to get a reminder of what this is all about. And so open up your Bibles, turn on your apps. We're going to 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, the second half of our Bible. We're going to the second letter to the Corinthians. We're going to be looking at a bigger portion of what we read when we started our service. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as you're turning there, it's going to be helpful to have some context to orient us on what's going on. And as I often like to remind us of, that context is not simply an academic exercise or to give you more facts, but understanding the context of Scripture helps us experience the bigness of the story of Scripture. And so in the New Testament, we have two letters written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Corinth was one of the most important cities in the ancient Roman Empire. You can still find the ruins of it today in southern Greece. And when we think about the church at Corinth, what we learn is they had a spectacular start. Man, people were giving their lives to Jesus. The Holy Spirit was moving. The miraculous was being unleashed. Heaven was breaking through. But one of the reasons why Paul is writing these letters is even though they had a spectacular start, they had lost their way. They had lost their focus and started following after false gods and idols. They had given in to sin. They had regressed and gone back to who they once were. So these two letters are filled with a lot of rebukes, but I want you to catch how Paul beautifully rebukes them as well as how the word beautifully rebukes us. He rebukes the church at Corinth by reminding them of their true identity. Remember who you now are because of Jesus. Don't go back. Live in your new identity and in your new reality. And I got to do a quick sidebar here. When I go through 1st and 2nd Corinthians and I look at what that church, the mess they've become, there's a part of my heart that goes, I would have given up on them. Why doesn't Paul? And because Paul is rooted in the grace and mercy of Jesus, that Jesus didn't give up on him, Jesus doesn't give up on us, and that strengthens us to not give up on the people around us. And so it's a beautiful truth, but specifically 2 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with the fact that there is some leadership in the church that is opposing Paul's leadership. They're opposing his right to be an apostle because he looks like a mess. Because he struggles, because he suffers, because he doesn't look like a winner on the outside. He doesn't have the resources or the clothes. He wasn't a great communicator. And throughout 2 Corinthians, Paul is in essence defending himself by saying, we're not meant to look at what the world looks at. The world looks at the outside. The world looks at the appearance. God cares about the heart and transformation of character. So with that as some context and our foundation, let's go ahead and go to our passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be starting at verse 16. Paul writes, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. If you can, underline or highlight the entirety of verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And so again, the apostle is reminding us of our brand new reality. And do you catch the words he's using? It is not a future reality. Paul is not saying one day you will be made new. He is saying because of Jesus, you are new now. And that changes everything. That changes the way you see God. That changes the way you see yourself. That changes the way you see others. You are a new creation now. And then he goes on, verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You're going to notice that Paul is charging us with a mission. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Remember who you are. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And what's so beautiful is that Paul is reminding us of how heaven broke through in the first place. He is reminding us of what we call the gospel message, that it was Jesus that came and brought heaven to us. It was Jesus that forgave us of our sins. It was Jesus that gave us brand new life. It was Jesus that then gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And is the Jesus the one that calls us to say, go and make disciples of all nations. And the beautiful thing about the gospel is our foundation for this life as well as for all of eternity. And sometimes as longtime believers, we look at the gospel as the way our story in Christ started. But hear me wonderfully, we don't move past the gospel. The gospel is the foundation of everything. It's why heaven has broken through. And then as he continues to speak our new identity, he calls us Christ's ambassadors. And I would say, if you can, underline or highlight that, Christ's ambassadors. And that word meant then what it means now, that if you were an ambassador, it was an official position in which you represented, and you would go to another nation or another kingdom as an official representative of your home nation or your home kingdom. And so what Paul is telling us is that as a Christ follower, you are now an official representation of the kingdom of heaven. Where you go, heaven goes, and you are beautifully being tasked with taking heaven to the world around you. And as we finish up our scripture, we're going into chapter 6 a little bit. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, meaning heaven has broken through in your life. You have a new identity. Take that seriously. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Would you underline or highlight that? The emphasis on now, in this moment, not in the future, but now. And when I think about what Paul is reminding us of, it's the reason why this local church exists, that our mission as the Church of Rocky Peak is to unleash a movement of passionate Christ followers. Another way we can say that is we exist as a church to unleash you to go to your daily lives and for God to unleash heaven through you. That God's vision for your life is that he would unleash the power, the restoration, the presence of God through you wherever you go. And so let's talk about that and unpack that for a bit. There in your note sheet, you got a section titled Unleashing Heaven. The first truth I want to spend some time in is this: heaven is unleashed through real people. Heaven is unleashed through real people. And would you draw circles around real people? A real person is messy. A real person is complicated. A real person is flawed. A real person has limitations. A real person struggles and wrestles. A real person cries. A real person deals with temptation. A real person fails. A real person is confused. A real person doesn't have all the answers. A real person might have times in which they struggle with a biblical literacy test. A real person is just that, is messy and is complicated. And so many of us in this room, one of our hangups when it comes to seeing heaven is we're very aware of the fact that we are messy, real people. And we don't expect heaven to be unleashed through us because we see our limitations. We see our flaws. We see ourselves as the JV team of the Christian church. And for many of us, we live with this false narrative that there's a varsity team. There are the elites. There are the superhumans. There are Christ followers in our community and in our world that they have it all together. Their entire lives are Instagrammable. They always look good. They always have the answer. They never seem to struggle or doubt. Following Jesus seems like it comes naturally to them. If they have kids, their kids always obey and are dressed to the nines. I'm sure laundry in their house is always put away at an acceptable time. Somehow they limit their sins to 2 or less a day. We think about these Clark Kent type of Christians, supermen or superwomen, and we go, man, if God is going to unleash heaven, he's going to do it through them. Or we think of leaders in upfront position and go, man, if God is going to unleash heaven, it's going to come through the Michaels, it's going to come through the Lawrence, it's going to come through the Neils. So many of us are missing out on what God wants to do because we don't expect God to unleash heaven through us. And if that were true, then just about every story in the Bible wouldn't exist. One of the reasons why I'm always going to encourage you, get in the Bible, is because we see God use people that make me feel better about myself. All throughout the entirety of Scripture, we see people that are incredibly flawed, that are scared, that are sinful. We see account after account of people that on paper do not have the right resume, that they are the wrong person to ever be put in a leadership or a position of furthering the mission of Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, it doesn't matter about the person. What matters is the God living and dwelling within the person and what God wants to do and unleash through real, messy, complicated people like you and I. There in your note sheet, I love this quote. Dr. Derwin Gray is an author. He's a pastor in South Carolina. In the early 90s, he played for the NFL. He was an Indianapolis Colt, and he always loves to brag about how he sacked Steve Young at the San Francisco 49ers. But he writes this, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And there are so many of us that we see ourselves on the JV team of Christians. And we sit there and go, okay, maybe one day God will grow me enough that I'll be ready. Can I speak some truth into your lives, Rocky Peak? You will never be ready. And in fact, if we're looking to be ready, that's the wrong place to fix our eyes. It's not about, are you ready? It's about, are you willing? Are you willing to give God your yes and to say, God, if you want to unleash heaven through a flawed, limited human being like me, then you do you. Like I was talking about earlier, we have this example all throughout Scripture. Let me name just a few. Let's start with the author of our passage today. Let's start about Paul. When we first are introduced to Paul in the book of Acts, Paul is a completely different person. Going by the name of Saul, he is a persecutor. He is a murderer. He is a person that believes he is absolutely right. The Lord needed to humble him, and the Lord then unleashed heaven through him. When we go back to the Old Testament and we look at somebody like David, David went on to become the greatest king in Israel's history. But how did David's story start? David was a lowly shepherd whose own father forgot about him. David was a kid who didn't measure up to the standard of manhood that his own family and his brothers had for him. And yet, what does God take? He takes this kid and he unleashes heaven through him. When we look at the 12 disciples, the men that Jesus called to say, follow me. The one that was tasked to be the leader of them, Peter, is incredibly prideful, incredibly stubborn, incredibly hard-headed. He tried more than once to put Jesus in his place, and Peter needed to be humbled, and yet the Lord chose him to unleash heaven through. When we look at the Gospel of John, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman who is not Jewish. She's a woman in a culture that devalued that. She was caught in sexual sin. She was an outcast from her own city, and yet she had an encounter with Jesus the King, and that changed her, and she ran back into her city, heaven being unleashed to the people that had scorned and betrayed her, and she says, I have found the Messiah. Come and see. And we could go on, and we could go on, and we could go on. Hear me, Rocky Peak. We need to make an important distinction. You are a real person, but because of the Spirit that lives in you, there is nothing ordinary about you. You are a real person, flaws, limitations, imperfections, and all, but you have the Spirit of the living God living in you. There is nothing ordinary about you. You are the temple of the living God. Heaven has already broken through you. And because you are a messy and complicated person, who better to go and share heaven with other messy and complicated people? Because it is intimidating to see the seemingly perfect, but it is relatable to hear another flawed human being go, man, if Jesus can do this in my life, imagine what he can do in yours. Because of the God living in you, you are exactly the right person for heaven to be unleashed through. So that's the first truth I want to unpack. The second truth, the second fill-in is this. Heaven is unleashed in everyday moments. Heaven is unleashed in everyday moments. And would you circle the end of that, everyday moments? I want to ask you a rhetorical question, and that means don't answer. I've learned I have to explain that. Where do you expect to encounter Jesus? Where do you expect to encounter heaven? And I think there's a uniqueness to that question that in a room this size, a lot of our answers are going to be different, but I think they have some common threads. I think that a lot of our answers are very specific, very momentary, and very occasional. That I think a lot of us would say, well, I expect to encounter heaven when I'm engaging in a spiritual discipline. When I'm reading my Bible, or I'm praying, or I'm journaling. There's a lot of us that probably would say, I expect to encounter heaven in worship. Then when we gather together on the weekends and we start with that worship, there's something tangible. Or when we gather for in an encounter service, it's what makes it so special that there is just an undeniable move and presence of God in that space. For some of us, it is a location that I expect to encounter heaven when I walk onto campus, when I come and engage with service, or maybe even when I go to my life group. There are some of us that I expect to encounter heaven when I'm at a camp with student ministries, whether I'm a student now or whether when I was a student. Hey, this coming weekend, over 160 of our high schoolers, some of you are here, are going off to winter camp. And those are experiences in which heaven breaks through. There's some who would say, man, I experience heaven when I'm serving, when I'm using my talents and my gifts, whether it's upfront or musical, whether it's first impressions or serving with our kids and our people. There are some that would say, I encounter heaven when I'm doing a cross-cultural mission trip, when I'm in Mexico or in Africa, or when we're serving the needy and those that have been outcast, even our own community. And hear me, those are gifts. Hear me, heaven is breaking through in those moments. But with those moments, there is a temptation we need to acknowledge, because often those moments are grand. Often there is a spectacular element to those moments. And then what happens is we leave those moments. And the rest of our life feels pretty dull by comparison. What's the morning after encounter like when you're sitting with your bowl of cereal, when you're getting people ready to go to school or to go to work? And do you realize what starts happening? And even though it's well-intentioned, we start sitting there going, man, I want to go back to that moment. I want to go back to that experience. And so we start longing for the next encounter. We start longing for the next worship song. We start longing for the next camp experience. We start longing for the next moment. We start saying things like, guys, you know what? We should do encounter more often. We should do camp more often. We should play this song nonstop for like an hour straight. This person should be the person that preaches all the time. We should do this. We should do that. We start becoming a people that are chasing moments. And when we chase moment, no matter how well-intentioned it is, when we start chasing moments, we miss the reality of Jesus in our lives, because those moments are a gift. But the purpose of those moments is to be a catalyst to take heaven heaven into our everyday lives. Because Jesus does not bring heaven into our lives simply for the occasional or any moment. Heaven has broken through for the entirety of our lives. We spend the majority of our time in everyday moments, and it's in the everyday that heaven wants to break through. We need a new paradigm. You know, Alfred Hitchcock, the famous director of movies like Psycho, Birds, North by Northwest, he once said that movies are life with the dull bits cut out. And the truth is, that's how many of us view the Christian life, that we think it's supposed to be this nonstop thrill ride of the spectacular. And if it's not, then something must be wrong. Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with church and the leadership. Something's wrong with the worship team. Something's wrong with the Bible and the translation. Something must be wrong. No, what's wrong is we are missing the point. Those moments are a gift and a catalyst for us then to take, for us then to say, open my eyes to heaven breaking through in the everyday. There in your note sheet, there's a little bit of a longer quote, but it's a really good one. This is from a book by Tish Harrison Warren. She's an author and a leader in the Anglican tradition. And this is what she says. We tend to want a Christian life with the dull bits cut out. But what if all these boring parts matter to God? What if the days passed in a way that feel small and insignificant to us are weighty with meaning and part of the abundant life God has for us? If I am to spend my whole life being transformed by the good news of Jesus, I must learn how grand sweeping truths, doctrine, theology, ecclesiology, Christology, rub against the texture of an average day. Catch this statement. How I spend this ordinary day in Christ is how I will spend my Christian life. So this is a bigger view of our identity. You are what the Bible says you are. That means there is nothing ordinary about you. And because of that truth, that means that there is no such thing as an ordinary moment. Because God's vision is for heaven to break through in your whole life. God wants heaven to break through in your highest of highs, in your successes, in your joys, when the sun is shining and the birds are chirping. God wants heaven to break through in your lowest of lows, in your deepest pains, in your tears, in your lament. And God wants heaven to break through in everything in between, in the seemingly mundane, the seemingly boring, and the seemingly ordinary. This is what Paul is reminding us of. This is what Jesus taught us to pray. This is the power that is given to us as believers in Jesus, that we now get to live life with a renewed expectancy that heaven wants to break through in the everyday. And that takes me back to the DMV. And so that question came from a story I heard a few weeks ago from a woman named Megan Marshman. Megan is an author and a speaker. She's on the teaching team at Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago. For those of you that know me, you know I'm partial to awesome women named Megan. And she was sharing, first of all, what was extraordinary to me is she was in the middle of a teaching series very similar to the one we're in now. And in the second week of that series, the message I was listening to, she was talking about how in week one, man, God opened the gates and heaven broke through, very similarly to our experience last weekend. And so as she's excited for part two of that teaching series, she goes to her schedule. She wants to make sure she clears off things so that she has enough time to sit with the Lord and say, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to do in this next message? And as she looks at her schedule, she sees that there was a DMV appointment that she had booked months earlier that she completely forgot about. And as she sees this, this is a direct quote, I knew right then it couldn't just be to renew my license. Do you see the expectancy in this? And then she goes on to share that she walked into that DMV actively looking. Okay, God, who is the person you brought me here for? Who is it? Is it that person? Is it that person? And so she begins trying to initiate a conversation with people in line. Nothing. She begins trying to initiate conversation in that like waiting, holding pen area. Nothing. So she's sitting and waiting, and they finally call her number. She remembers it, G19. And she's got a joy going, this has got to be the person. They are a captive audience. So she walks up there, and the woman, the employee that is serving her, Megan, begins to try to connect. And again, nothing. This woman is just giving her a cold shoulder. So Megan tries a different tactic. She asks this woman, hey, you know those jokes about the DMV being slow? Do you like those? How do you feel about those? And it broke the ice because this woman smiles and goes, yeah, I kind of like them. And then Megan asked a follow-up question, and it was through that question that heaven broke through. You ready? How are you? We hear that question a lot throughout our days. It's a seemingly ordinary question. But as believers tasked with go and make disciples of all nations, that is one of the most powerful weapons we have when asked with sincerity. How are you? And at first the woman answered like any of us would, I'm okay. And then she got silent and went, well, actually, it's been a rough couple of years. I got really sick with COVID. I was put on a ventilator and I thought I was going to die. They told me to call my family to say goodbye. But I didn't. And a quote from this woman is, I made it, and now I'm just wondering why. So what does Megan get to do? She gets to tell her about heaven. And heaven gets to break through. And in that conversation, Megan tells this woman working at the DMV that God, I knew that God had to have me here for some reason other than to renew my license. And the employee's response was, yeah, because you could have done all of this online. Rocky P, can I ask you a sincere question? Did you know that you could approach your everyday moments like that? Did you know that you could approach your everyday moments with an expectancy that heaven wants to be unleashed through you? Did you know that you could go into every seemingly ordinary and mundane moment of your day and ask this question, this quote from Megan on the front of your note sheet, God, where do you want to break forth here? God, where do you want to break forth here? And so as we begin to wrap things up, man, if we want to gain a new expectancy for heaven in our lives, that starts by developing a rhythm of praying to see what God is up to. So there in the back of your note sheet, before we get to the fill-in, like I did last week, can I draw your eyes to the word vehemently? And so you see that phrase, pray vehemently. And as you hear that word, picture what it means, that there is nothing passive about it, that the pray vehemently means we're developing a rhythm of an ongoing prayer life, morning, noon, in life, that our prayers are not polite and tidy, but they're passionate, they're messy, they're emotional, that we pray in different postures, that there are times in which we pray in our normal speaking voice, there are times in which we pray out loud, there are times in which we're internal, there's times in which we sit and receive, there are times in which our prayers are shouts, our prayers are our cries. There are times in which we're praying as we walk. There are times in which we're praying as we drive. There are times in which we're praying on our knees with our hands spread out. There are times in which we pray by ourselves. There are times in which we pray by others. There are times in which we write our prayers down. Again, it's an ongoing dynamic and a rhythm. Pray vehemently. This is what I want to unleash you to pray. Pray vehemently for an expectant heart. Pray vehemently for an expectant heart, meaning that God would begin to open your eyes and you would now approach your everyday life with a new expectancy that heaven wants to break through here. Pray vehemently for an expectant heart because I want to encourage you, Rocky Peak, dream with me. If God begins to open your eyes to the fact that heaven wants to be unleashed through you in the life you already live, imagine what will happen in your family. Imagine what will happen on your campuses. Imagine what will happen with your friendships. Imagine what will happen with the difficult and the broken relationships. Imagine what will happen in your neighborhoods, your communities, in your jobs, wherever you find yourself in. Imagine what will happen. And the beautiful invitation is it doesn't have to stay in our imagination. We get to pray, Holy Spirit, change and transform me to have a new expectancy that heaven wants to break through. This isn't in your note sheet, but in Jeremiah chapter 29, we're told that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, I tend to have these encounters frequently at Target that people seemingly sneak up on me. And a lot of the reason why is because when I'm at Target, especially if I'm by myself, I'm not paying attention to the world around me. I usually have my headphones in and I'm listening to early 2000 emo music. And so somebody can get right in my face and go, "Hi, Dre," and it startles me. And some of you have had similar experiences, right? And do you know why I didn't see them? Because I wasn't looking. But what's the difference when you're actively looking for someone? You see them from farther away. You see them coming. You can pull them out of a crowd. There is power when we are actively looking. And again, hear me. There are some of you in here that have already experienced this, that God at some point is going to call you to something spectacular, like a cross-cultural mission, is going to unleash a musical or a leadership gift in your life, is going to trust you with a platform, with something that seems big. But here's the beautiful thing of unleashing heaven. God is not waiting for a different type of life. God wants to unleash heaven in the life you already live. Where you already are, with the people you already come into contact with. And so there on your note sheet, I want to give you some space to begin to write out some specific activities, some events, some places, some people within a typical day. I want to invite you, whether it's in this moment, whether it's in the next hour as you spend time with God, to write out some of these typical areas in your day and to begin praying vehemently, God, would you open my eyes that you want to unleash heaven here through with them, through me. So let me give you a couple examples of what I mean. For some of you, you need to write down your morning. And I've been talking a lot about this over the last couple of years, that the way we start our day has significant power over the way we live our day. And for many of us, because our mornings are hectic, because we're groggy, because there is a lot going on, our mornings tend to be the time of our day that we least expect heaven to break through. So we need to write down and say, God, give me a new expectancy for when I open my eyes. Give me a new expectancy for when I'm getting ready for school or for work. Give me a new expectancy for when I sit down with breakfast or I unwrap my breakfast as I'm driving somewhere. Give me a new expectancy. I'm trying to get other people ready for their day, for school or for work. Give me an expectancy on the drives, in the car drop-off lines or in the drive-thrus. For some of us, it's our mornings. For others of us, we need to write down a specific location, likely where we tend to spend a significant amount of time. For some of you, you need to write your school. You need to write Simi High. You need to write Royal. You need to write CSUN. You need to write Moor Park, wherever it is you find yourself. For some of you, it's your job. It's your work. You need to say, God, give me an expectancy that heaven wants to break through with my boss, with my coworkers in the office. For some of you, it's the gym. For some of you, it's PTA meetings. For some of you, it's Starbucks. For some of you, it's Target. Guys, I am not saying this in any type of joke. God is up to something in our local Trader Joe's. And the reason why I say that is there are many of our fellow saints that have begun working at the one in Simi and the one in Chatsworth, and that is not an accident. I've started praying for Trader Joe's because God is up to something. For some of you, you need to write down some of the people you tend to come in contact with in a given day, whether it's your family, whether it's your parents or your grandparents, whether it's your children, whether it's friends that you spend a lot of your class time or your day with, whether it's coworkers, whether it is baristas. For some of you, it's those in your life that have yet to give their life to Jesus, that you want to write their name down and plead vehemently for heaven to break through in their lives. And hear me, when it comes to this prayer, don't just write down the people you like. Don't just write down the people you get along with. You need to write down your enemies. You need to write down the people that stand against us, because one conviction that God keeps bringing to my heart is I am really good at calling out sin and I'm really good at getting angry, but I'm really flawed at seeing my enemies the way that God sees them, not as people that he wants to see burn, but as people he wants to save. And so I need to pray for them in a new way. So who are the people you can plead with? For some of you, you need to write down the circumstance you find yourself in this season. Some of you are in a season of opportunity. And you say, heaven, I want to see heaven break through in this. Some of you are in a season of growth. You're growing and you're maturing. You say, heaven, keep breaking through. Some of you are in a season of confusion. You once had the answers and now you don't. You want to say, heaven, break through. Some of you are in a season of change, of transition, where your life is changing. Some of you are in a season of, again, you have to make big decisions for your future. Some of you are about to graduate. Some of you are in a season of pain, of tears, of brokenness, and you need to write that down and say, God, open my eyes to see heaven breaking through right where I'm at. Some of you need to write down your church life. Some of you need to write down Rocky Peak and say, it's become routine and normal to go to church. There is nothing ordinary about the gathering of the saints. There is nothing ordinary about the living and active word of God. There is nothing ordinary about the equipping or the unleashing that God is doing here week in and week out. And so you need to say, God, give me a new expectancy for that. For some of you, you need to write down the local church. The work of God is not contained to Rocky Peak. God wants to unleash heaven through all of the different communities. And so this is our opportunity as one of those communities that God, unleash heaven through Cornerstone, unleash heaven through Freedom, unleash heaven through Shepherd, unleash heaven through Living Water, unleash heaven through the small churches meeting in somebody's living room right now. God, unleash heaven wherever your saints are. But the foundation is, God, open my eyes to begin to see heaven breaking through in a new way. I'm gonna invite the worship team to come on out, and as we wrap up our time, they're gonna sing kind of an oldie but a goodie over us. And in particular, the reason why I asked for this song is because it's such a beautiful reminder of the restoration of heaven breaking through. And so during this time, I want you to engage with it however the Lord is leading you. For some of you, the best way to engage with this time is to sing and sing loud. For some of you, the best way is going to be to stay seated and to write and to pray vehemently. For some of you, the best way to engage with this time is to drop down to your knees or even come to the front to drop down to those knees to confess, to surrender and say, God, I give my heart back to you. For some of you, the best way to engage with this time is to grab some of the saints around you and say, let's pray for heaven to be unleashed together. If you don't know them, introduce yourself and awesome, pray. Whatever it is, just be intentional. This is the Lord's time. Amen? Let me pray. King Jesus, we pray your words on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus, unleash heaven through us. Unleash heaven through the spectacular and the everyday. Unleash heaven wherever it is we go, because we are the ambassadors of restoration and hope. King Jesus, we pray your words over and over again, on earth as it is in heaven. It's in your precious name, King Jesus, we said all this. Amen.